Let's peek inside the mind of a boomer. This is Boomer Randomness, a podcast dedicated to the baby boom generation, with random observations about boomer life from boomers, including topics like music, movies, memories, marriage and divorce, retirement, bucket lists, kids and grandkids, travel, and a whole lot more. Here's your boomer host, Bernie Lucas.
At this point in our lives, many of us are seeking purpose. We don't have work anymore. We've raised our families. Now many of us are retired. What does that mean? What do we do now? Depending on our means, family circumstances, and health, we can do nearly anything we want to do. Do we need a reason? That depends on each of us. As we age, we tend to be less filtered. We say what we want and are usually less concerned about what people think of us. We do what we were always meant to do. We become the real us. I'm not especially spontaneous, so I often need a reason to do something, to do anything. I need some purpose. So I started this podcast. I like writing, storytelling, and audio editing, so this is perfect. Gives me purpose, sort of. But aside from my own situation, what is this podcast for? What is it about? Who or what should be in it? A bigger question, how much of the Boomer Randomness podcast is about me? How much of me should I share? Should I share my opinions about anything deeper than Boomer era reminiscing? Am I holding back? In radio, we were trained to simultaneously focus on the listener and the advertising revenue. Our opinions were guided. Programming decisions were often determined by the impact they would have on revenue. As performers, we were urged to adjust our on-air commentary to reflect company goals. We'd create an individual persona showing a sliver of the real us. Don't piss off the advertisers. In other words, keep our opinions to ourselves. If we do have an opportunity to express an opinion in front of a microphone, be diplomatic. There are exceptions. Howard Stern and the late Rush Limbaugh, for example. I thought Stern was a 6-foot-tall bundle of bullshit. Who cares about what he thinks? I ultimately realized that, like him or don't, he was real. He was authentic. He asked questions others were afraid to ask. Limbaugh was all bullshit, no authenticity, in my opinion. Oops, did I just express an opinion in front of a microphone? The company I worked for much of my career was the distributor of his show, so don't say what I think about him out loud. Nobody told me that, by the way. I just knew it. He was probably the biggest single source of revenue for the company at the time. Keep it zipped, right? So here I am. 20 months after retirement, 20 months past the end of a 48-year radio career. No company policy, no corporate executives, no regional or local bosses telling me what to say or not say. Yet, I still hold back. I still have the diplomatic mindset. And the radio guy in me also tends to design this podcast around what I think boomers and others might want to hear. It's not automatically a bad thing, but is it me? Is it authentic? It's probably a good strategy, actually. But maybe I have something to say, strong opinions I want to share. Would you or anyone else want to hear what I think about anything? I'm a little more opinionated at home and at my neighborhood bars than I am in this podcast. Actually, some would say I'm a lot more opinionated than what you hear in this. Closing in on 60 episodes, and I still don't really have answers to those questions. I'm at a crossroads with this podcast. Saying all of this out loud and sharing my thoughts with you might help me decide how to move forward fearlessly. I like talking about you usually, but occasionally I want to talk about me. I want to talk about me. So this episode is a random, mostly unfiltered collection of my opinions and observations about random stuff. This next part is mostly unscripted. I just want to see what happens. How's this for unscripted? I'm blowing my nose, getting over a cold. So, politics and religion. Oh, Bernie, don't talk about politics and religion. That's the things you're not supposed to talk about. Well, if I'm being really me and authentic, I have opinions about both, especially politics. Now, my circle of friends happen to mostly be kind of in the same realm of belief that I am. But, you know, that's not the only belief. In fact, that's something I speak out about all the time, personally, and sometimes on this podcast, I guess, is that this whole my way or the highway mentality that we've been under for such a long time, I think is ridiculous. It's like there are, if there was only one way to think about something or believe something, then everybody would do it. But as you know, there's more than one way to think about something or do something or believe in something. And a variety of opinions should be, you know, something we want to approach, to learn. In many cases, it just validates what we already believe. But, you know, like I said, there's more than one way to do something or believe something. But, you know, people in Congress, particularly Republicans, it's like, well, this is the only way to do it. But, you know, if I think the statistic is roughly maybe 40 to 45% of registered voters are Democrat, 40 to 45% of registered voters are Republicans, and the rest are independents. It's somewhere in that range. It means that there's a variety of opinions, and the way our American democracy is set up and is supposed to work is we find common ground across that variety of opinions. But that hasn't happened much in the last few years, especially. And so, you know, who's the elephant in the room? Trump. I will tell you, and I don't care if you believe this or not, or believe me or not, or if you hate me for saying this, but I think Trump is an ignorant, immoral, lying con artist, a traitor to the Constitution, and a criminal. And I think a lot of facts back that up. I think some of that's incredibly obvious. What I don't understand is how anybody can still support him. I kind of understood it the first time around. But now, after he, you know, what was it, 40,000 documented lies and deceptions? And that's only when he was president. And it's like two more years after that, it's still the same thing. He makes up stuff. Do you really believe that he has Bibles and he's read it and it's his favorite book and he has them all over his house? Come on. You know that's not true in any way. If he becomes president again, that is the end of American democracy and maybe the end of the United States of America. I don't say that lightly. We've been through a lot of ups and downs and conflicts and good and bad leaders, but that will be the end. And then, of course, if he loses, you know, there's going to be what potentially could be like a civil war again, because some people just won't believe that he lost. Personally, I believe the biggest conspiracy is the first time around. How did that many people actually vote for him? But, you know, I want to believe the numbers. You know, it's kind of hard not to. I think a lot of investigation has been done on those things and verifies that there wasn't any big fraudulent thing going on, other than Trump himself being the biggest fraud there is. What I really don't understand, I know a few people who still are Trumpers. And the particular ones I'm thinking about are basic, because, you know, I would like to believe that all the Trump supporters are the toothless people you see in some of the commercials and some of the interviews and the rallies and stuff. But the thing that scares me is that that's not always the case. And these particular people that I know who still follow him and still will vote for him are compassionate, religious, wonderful people. And Trump is none of that. How do they not see it? Especially, you know, Christians, anybody with any religious conviction, but Christians especially, evangelicals. It's like you're looking at what Trump is saying and doing, and you know, he is the opposite of everything you believe in, and you still like look at him as, you know, some kind of savior. And he has the audacity to compare himself to Jesus and compare himself to Nelson Mandela, another one I saw. I don't get it. I don't get it. And one day I'll have the balls enough to actually have a conversation with some of these people I know and ask them, and I'll try to be diplomatic when I do, but I want to understand why they still support this jerk. And why do they believe anything he says?
This is the Boomer Randomness Podcast.
As long as we're talking about Christianity and religion and things like that, I had a very interesting conversation with some friends of mine who are in my age range a couple of weeks ago. And somehow we talked about religion. And I'm still looking for boomer statistics about it. But some people, it's, again, the my way or the highway thing. And should I even really bring this one up? Let me think about this. Yeah, there's a preacher in the Washington, D.C. area that advertises on radio, and everybody knows this. Not a sermon, just a thought. That's his tagline for his commercials and his whole preaching theory. And he grew up Jewish and converted to Baptist and is a minister, and you know, makes a big deal about this conversion. And he says things like, there's no way to get to heaven unless you believe in Jesus and are a Christian. And a lot of Christians say that. And I'm not going to fault them for saying that. But how can it be that that is the only way? Let's assume there is a heaven. What about the billions of people who are not Christians, who may never have heard of Jesus, and even if they have, aren't convinced that whatever they already believe in isn't the right way? You mean they're not getting there? They're not getting to heaven? Please. It can't be that way, I don't think. So, emotion, as long as we're being authentic here, how do you express emotions, especially if you're a boomer? Do you cry in front of people? Do you cry at all if you're a guy? You know, the typical thing, and I think we kind of grew up with this attitude still for the longest time. It's like, oh, guys are strong. Guys don't cry. But do you? I do. Maybe I don't admit that. And honestly, I hate when it happens because it happens so spontaneously sometimes. And for some of the strangest things, maybe this is part of aging. I don't know. I mean, the part about being the authentic you and or me. And, you know, as we age, we are less filtered. And so we don't hold back as much. I don't know. You know, there are a couple of really odd things. I mean, my wife, Jennifer, loves Hallmark Channel. And I kind of smirk at it a little bit, but then if we're watching it, I'm kind of getting involved in the stories. And, you know, get a little teary-eyed sometimes, and that's what they're trying to do with a lot of their programs. But, I mean, other things like, come on, NCIS, we watch it. We've seen every single episode of the original and all of the episodes of NCIS New Orleans and a bunch of the others. And there are times they do a really good job with their characters and their storylines. And sometimes we both get kind of emotional when that happens. And you know, it's like, I hate that, but hey, we're at this age now where we can kind of just be anything, right? Why not? But I'm pretty sure I've never cried in front of anybody other than my wife and maybe previous wives and possibly at things like, the radio conventions I went to a few times at the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, and you hear the stories about the kids there, and everybody in the room is shedding tears. But that's a whole different story. In my case, if freaking Dixieland jazz comes on, that's like a throwback to my youth growing up in New Orleans, and I get a little teary-eyed when that happens. Is there something wrong with me? Do I need therapy here? Or is this just part of growing up, part of aging, part of being a boomer? I don't know. I'm just trying to be real and authentic here. How am I doing? Still looking for that purpose. Is this what this podcast is about? I don't know. Aging. Are you afraid of aging? How's aging treating you? I'm 74. People who have known me a long time might not realize that because fortunately I don't look the expectation of 74, and my attitudes, I think, are broader than a lot of people who are in their 70s. You know, I'll thank my radio career for that because I was always around a lot of people a lot younger than me, especially the last few years I was still working. But aging scares me. I'm not particularly afraid to die. I'm just not ready. I think there's a lot more living to do. And, you know, I think there's another few chapters of living here. And I think a lot of my friends in this age range are kind of like that too. But I don't know. Are you afraid of dying? Are you afraid of growing old? Are you afraid of aging? Is it affecting you in any negative way? I mean, the good news is we keep accumulating all this knowledge. We've got a lot of stuff, you know, we've got ideally families and friends, our village, but it still creeps me out sometimes, and I'm still at a crossroads in this point. So being authentic, do you really care about what I'm saying about me here? I don't know. I mean, I kind of have confidence in my opinions and in myself, but I don't know if that should be in here. I mean, it kind of comes back to, you know, what is this podcast for? I mean, on one hand, it's my search for purpose, but on another hand, one thing that it could do, it could serve to help other boomers who are going through all the same stuff we're going through and say, oh yeah, I see what you mean there. Or if we're talking about an old TV show or radio or music or movies or something, oh yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I thought the same thing. Or no, I didn't. You know, so maybe it sparked some kind of conversation about this stuff. And it's fun to reminisce. That's some of the feedback I got from a few people. You know, it's like, do more episodes about reminiscing stuff. You know, and I love that. But is that what we should do? Is there some help that this can do? I mean, I had an episode from a dating expert, a cyber dating expert, who's also a boomer. I thought that would be a really big one, you know, cyber dating, because I mean, a lot of people on our age range find themselves single again, and it's maybe been a long time, and, you know, got a fair amount of response to that one, but nothing spectacular. So I don't know, should I have more of those? Another one on financial planning, a few on retirement, and another one coming up that I'm working on, you know, but not every boomer's retired. You know, boomers are turning, the youngest boomers are turning 60 this year. If you're 60, you probably want to be retired, but maybe you can't or whatever. And then those who are retired, it's like, okay, what do you do now? I mean, I have this podcast. I have a wonderful wife. I have, you know, family support. I have a lot of things to do, a lot of great hobbies, but not everybody has all that. And a lot of people, myself included, really got tied to work. I mean, for me, it was part of my identity. It was my work was part of my identity, and I don't have this work anymore. So who am I? So do you have that? Does that happen with you? So, I mean, that could be something that, you know, works in this podcast. That could be a good reason. One thing I don't want to do is this thing initially when I was doing two episodes a week or trying to, and I was starting to have a little writer's block after a few months, and it started to feel like work. And that's something I don't want this to feel like work, but I think I want to keep doing. I don't know. That's why I'm talking through all this stuff right now, hoping that, like I said a few minutes ago, that saying all this out loud and sharing my thoughts with you might help me decide how to move forward and how not to overthink it, because I'm a classic overthinker. And another thing is, my favorite word, ask my wife Jennifer and several other people that know me, what's my favorite word? Balance. And in my case, the whole sentence is finding the balance, the work-life balance, that kind of thing, or finding the balance between planning for the future and living for today. because there may not, today may be the end of the future, you know? So finding, you know, you don't want to think you're going to die now, but you know you will eventually, but you might have another 10, 20, or 30 years ahead of you. So you want to have some kind of planning for it, but don't give up so many things today in the service of those things for tomorrow, because today might be the end. So that kind of stuff. So balance. So maybe this podcast for me personally is a balance thing. You know, maybe what I need to do is balance it between rambling on like this, but not this long. And do I, you know, am I designing this for you, or am I doing it for me, or am I doing it as a balance of those things? Anyway, I'm starting to think as I'm going through this, because like I said, most of this has been the unscripted part, which in a lot of ways is uncharacteristic for me. But I'm thinking I have some answers to those questions, and I am going to, I've decided right here on the spot, I am certainly going to continue this. I guess the question is am I going to try to grow it? And does growing it mean I need to start spending more time on it, which I probably won't? And, or do I just kind of just do this and share it with the, you know, with you and some regulars that are in and out of listening to this? We'll figure that out. Anyway, thank you. I'm Bernie Lucas. I appreciate that you've listen this far. The next one I'm planning is a deep dive into another year from our youth and very music focused. So that'll be more fun than this one was. So we'll see what happens. Thanks as always for listening.
Learn more about Boomer Life and sign up for episode updates at boomerrandomness.com and check us out on the Boomer Randomness Facebook. Okay, Boomer. Thanks for listening, and tell everyone you know about Boomer Randomness.